got a troubled mind. Wash it out and hang it up on a clothing line, and the sun will shine. All the worries gonna leave my troubled mind. I've got a broken thing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Biotech Facts and Fallacies podcast. I'm your host, Cameron English. One of the biggest problems in medicine today is that treatments for serious diseases often come with a host of really severe side effects. Probably the best known example is chemotherapy, which treats cancer but can also damage a patient's healthy cells. And it turns out that this is a problem even for some more advanced cancer therapies that are just starting to enter the market. Now, the solution, of course, is to develop more targeted treatments that attack the disease but present fewer side effects for the patient to endure. And today I'm talking with one scientist who's working on this problem. His name's Tim Liu. He's the founder and CEO of Senti Biosciences and an associate professor at MIT. He holds a PhD and an MD from MIT and Harvard. And Tim's going to tell us all about the work that Senti is doing to, quote, outsmart the most complex diseases by programming logic into medicine. Thanks so much for listening. Here we go.
All right, Tim, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, of course. So before we get into the weeds and all the technical stuff we're going to talk about, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get interested in science, and then how did you end up starting this company?
Yeah, so I was originally trained as a computer scientist. I went to MIT as an undergrad, and have always been really fascinated on how to program complex systems. And what really got me interested in this area of synthetic biology is this was, you know, in the early 2000s when, you know, the first genome project had been sequenced, DNA sequencing costs and DNA synthesis costs were starting to plummet. And you could actually see that the trends of DNA sequencing synthesis were matching or exceeding Moore's law, which is, you know, the law of semiconductors, in where, you know, computing essentially gets cheaper and faster by about, you know, twofold every 12 to 18 months. And so I basically saw that that opportunity was going to come in biology, where we could actually program and understand biological systems much, much faster every single year. And so decided to really make a switch over from computer science into synthetic biology, where we can contemplate programming living cells rather than programming silicon-based computers. So that's really my personal background and why I got interested in the field. Ended up doing an MD PhD in the area because I've always been really interested in the clinical translation of these technologies, and then started my lab at MIT in 2010. And so since then, over the last 9 years or so, been really working on building the synthetic biology toolkit, showing that we can engineer microbes as well as human cells to be able to sense, compute, and respond. And then decided that this technology was really ripe for commercial translation, and hopefully, you know, we can take these into the clinic and impact patients' lives. And so decided to do that in the context of Senti. Senti's basically has taken some of the technologies that I've developed in my own group, as well as our other scientific founders and advisors across MIT, Boston University, ETH Zurich, and Harvard, and really trying to apply the technology in the context of human cell therapeutics and gene therapeutics.
Fascinating stuff. So SynBioBeta put out an article, I believe it was just a couple weeks ago, about some of the work you guys are doing in cancer research. And before we talk about exactly what you guys are doing, what problems are you trying to address? What's the big issue or big issues with treating cancer these days?
Yeah, I actually would take a probably step back and even say that, you know, the central problem in all of drug development is how to develop molecules or medicines that are highly targeted to the disease of interest and have minimal side effects against, you know, other tissues. So whether you're talking about cancer, neurological disease, cardiovascular disease, et cetera, you know, the entire field is really focused on, you know, identifying, you know, suitable targets, going after them with very sort of precise therapy so that you can really maximize the efficacy you get in treating patients and minimize any of the safety concerns. The challenge that we're really trying to overcome is there's limitations in the way we've been doing that classically. So most drugs that people are used to taking are things like small molecule chemicals or biologic-based drugs like antibodies. And these are typically discovered through a, you know, process of large-scale screening, And then you sort of whittle down the candidates until you find one that happens to, you know, have the right profile that you want to take forward. And, you know, our vision is ultimately is that we can do drug development in an engineering-based approach rather than a screening-based approach. And we do that by, number one, understanding what are the key problems that we're trying to go after, and then going in and actually programming the genetic code, building gene circuits inside of cells and viruses and things like that, to really try to reprogram the underlying biology and fix the problem in a more precise way. So, you know, some of the issues that we're trying to tackle are, you know, can we, number one, be better discriminators of what is a disease tissue versus not? So by using the synthetic biology, we can build logic gates that actually incorporate multiple biomarkers of disease. So not just relying on a single marker to say this is cancer and this is not cancer. But if you can start incorporating two markers or three markers together, you can be much more precise at saying with confidence that this is a cancer cell and I should kill it versus this is a healthy tissue and I should leave it alone. And that's something that the synthetic biology can bring to the table, but it's hard to achieve with some of the classical drug-based approaches. So that's one area. The second major area is many of the diseases that we're trying to go after require some degree of combination therapy to really drive maximal efficiency, you know, in diseases like cancer, autoimmune disease, et cetera. It's not a single pathway that's gone awry. And so being able to do combination therapy, but do it from the context of a single drug that we're delivering into patients. So you're not trying to dose two or three or four different drugs independently, which gets very complicated, is another thing that synthetic biology allows you to do, because we can program a single cell or a single virus that actually expresses, you know, two, three, or four different active therapeutics within the body at the right time. So that's in a nutshell. So some of the applications that we're going after, and ultimately what we're trying to do is maximize, you know, the efficacy of some of these cancer therapeutics by really enabling much more efficient targeting and combination type therapy. At the same time, we don't want to sort of sacrifice the safety issue. And so being able to build therapies that actually have control and specificity inherent to them is something that's really central to the gene circuit technology.
Before we go on, can you just briefly define what synthetic biology is and then what a gene circuit is, just for anyone who's not aware or familiar with that terminology?
Yeah, so the analogy I like to use is, you know, I think some people or many people have heard of the term CRISPR, and where people are using a tool to knock out or remove specific pieces of DNA from the body. And so we really think about that as sort of the delete button on your keyboard. Like you have the human genome, you can go in with CRISPR and you can delete, you know, specific small snippets of code in the DNA. What synthetic biology provides you is the rest of the keyboard. So instead of just deleting stuff that is there already, we can actually program new code de novo and actually generate programs that are compatible with the cells of interest and the diseases that you're trying to go after. So basically what synthetic biology really focuses on is how to put together those programs, how do we rewire or redesign the DNA that's inside of these cells or viruses to give them new functionalities.
What is a gene circuit and how is it being applied as you guys are using in your research?
Yeah, so the way I think about a gene circuit, it's really the outcome of the synthetic biology that we do. We define a gene circuit as a multi-gene component. Usually there's two, three, or more individual genes that are being introduced into the cell. And when they go in, they basically activate a certain biological program that we've designed into them. So I'll give you a couple examples of programs that we care about. One example is that logic gate program I mentioned earlier that allows us to discriminate more finely between cancer and non-cancer cells. So we can build circuits like a NOT gate, which says I should not kill a healthy tissue because it expresses this healthy tissue antigen. And so it allows you to, you know, basically protect healthy tissue from being targeted by some of these cancer therapies. Another example of a gene circuit is, you know, engineering a cell that can actually controllably express, you know, two different drugs once they're within the tumor. And so in that context, the program that we're telling the cell to do is once you're in the tumor, produce these two different, you know, antibodies or two different cytokines to trigger a very strong anti-tumor effect. So those are all sort of generic examples of what a gene circuit is. And so we think about gene circuitry essentially as these programs that we're introducing into the DNA of living systems.
From what I understand, there's different kinds of therapies being developed, and I know you guys are working on primarily cell-based treatments, but there's some disagreement over what the best way to proceed is. So can you comment a little bit on that, on what you guys are doing for some of the other research projects that are going on elsewhere?
Yeah, certainly, you know, in the area of cancer therapies, people are trying everything from, you know, new chemical-based drugs, antibody-based drugs, radiation, you know, novel forms of chemotherapy delivery, et cetera. So when we think about doing drug development, you know, we want to find applications where, you know, the synthetic biology allows you to do something that none of the other therapies can do. So we want to, you know, clearly demonstrate a transformative potential for patients. And so we're looking for indications where, you know, there's just fundamental barriers for the existing approaches. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of the existing approaches are going after single targets. You know, here's one target that I think discriminates cancer versus non-cancer. I'm going to develop a very toxic agent that goes after that particular target. The challenge with that, for example, is that there's no perfect targets out there. Some of those targets can be expressed on healthy tissue. And if you solely sort of use a single target-based approach, you can have a lot of off-target side effects. So the indications that we're going after is really showing that, for example, if you incorporate two targets into your drug, and you can discriminate more finely that this is a cancer, this is a not cancer, because you actually have multiple targets going into it, we can get much more fine-grained discrimination. And so the way we're doing that is by using, as you mentioned, cell-based products as well as viral-based products. Basically, in the cell-based context, we're designing T cells, for example, that can be delivered into patients and that can recognize multiple targets simultaneously and then do some sort of logic gate to say, only kill tumors that have target A, but don't kill tumors that have target A and target B. Don't kill human cells that have target A and target B together. So that's something we're developing that we think has significant opportunity to show differentiation from existing approaches. Similarly, we're also building viruses that can be delivered into patients, and the viruses, once they're delivered, can also detect disease biomarkers, multiple ones, to discriminate this is tumor, non-tumor.
I think the FDA has already approved two treatments that are sort of like this. I don't think they're quite as advanced, but I think there's one for leukemia and one for lymphoma.
Yep.
How's the agency reacted to the work you guys are doing, or have they said anything about it at this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the drug that you're referring to are the two approved CAR-T products. They're basically T cells that are taken out of patients, genetically modified so that they target a single antigen called CD19. And what they've shown is that in leukemia and lymphoma, you can have really transformative outcomes there, you know, delivering patient cures. And the interesting thing about sort of that, those two products, is that they're actually sort of a unique situation. You can basically destroy every single cell in the body that expresses that CD19 target, and the patients can still survive. They need some supportive, you know, administration of immunoglobulins to survive going forward, but, you know, they're generally okay in that context. Most cancers are not as simple, though. So if you think about ovarian, breast, lung, some of these major solid tumors that people are trying to go after, there is not that, you don't have that single target that is clean enough where you can really drive those sort of effects. And that's really where Senti's technology comes in. We're actually building the next generations of, for example, T cell programs like that actually, you know, have a similar mechanism of action, but actually can go after multiple targets and do that discrimination. So the great thing is that, and one of the reasons why I got so excited in this space is that, you know, the FDA and I think clinicians are, you know, really excited about the opportunities here. They're really seeing that these therapies can be transformative. And the FDA and many clinical sites are really highly encouraging of these programs going forward. The benefit of having approved drugs on the market is that there's a fairly clear regulatory path on how to manufacture, how to analyze these drugs to make sure that they're safe. So that provides a roadmap for some of the developers like us who are trying to take next generation programs forward. And at the same time, you know, you're seeing these drugs starting to generate, you know, robust clinical data, but also show some limitations with the first generation. And that, as from an engineer's perspective, that's great because that provides us with really clear performance criteria that we can really optimize our genetic programs to try to tackle.
What kind of evidence have you guys gathered about the treatments that you're trying to develop?
Yeah, so we've set up a bunch of models in our lab to look at what happens if you go only after single targets versus multiple targets with our cell-based therapies, and have shown that when you actually can incorporate multiple targets together, you can actually get significantly enhanced effectiveness at destroying these tumors in a variety of animal models. So that's really exciting. You know, we've nominated a lead candidate that we're taking forward. It's in manufacturing now and aiming to push that into the clinic. And we have a pipeline of additional programs that we're developing. So the goal ultimately for Senti is to develop a pipeline of cancer-focused programs that we're going to take into the clinic and hopefully show a significant benefit for patients within oncology. Outside of oncology, we're taking a partnering strategy. So we know that there's a lot of applications for this technology for brain disease, for regenerative medicine, for autoimmune disease, et cetera. And we want to find, you know, really best-in-class partners here who want to work together with us to really optimize the gene circuits in those contexts and then take those forward as well. So ultimately, you know, we envision the synthetic biology actually permeating through many of the future cell and gene therapy products and want to be a broad enabler of that going forward.
So on the agricultural side of things, it can take, you know, a decade or more and over $100 million to, you know, bring a new trait to market that farmers can utilize. What's the timeline like for you guys? I know I'm asking you to sort of predict things that you don't know just yet, but can you give us an idea of when these might start to see the light of day?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, one of the reasons in oncology we've decided to focus a lot of our internal efforts on oncology is the potential to move quickly in the space. So, you know, obviously oncology is an area of high unmet clinical need. You know, patients want these sort of therapies, and there's a tremendous amount of pull from patients and the clinicians for novel approaches. And the other benefit of potentially going after oncology is that you can actually run fairly small initial clinical trials to look for activity, and that can actually then help you really accelerate those programs going forward. So I think, you know, there's a growing trend in oncology and also in some of the other disease areas that people are going after in rare diseases, for example, to really narrow down your patient population initially so you can focus, show initial clinical proof of concept, and then that can help you drive, you know, rapid clinical approval. So, you know, our timeline, you know, certainly aiming to get into the clinic by next year and then initiate multiple clinical studies. And our hope and our target is to really try to get these therapies into, you know, late phase clinical trials and into patients in the next 3 to 5 years.
Not too far off then. I mean, this is coming really quickly. Are you at all concerned that the backlash against genetic engineering, and I know this is again more on the food and agriculture side, but are you at all concerned that this is going to affect what you guys are doing? Because most of the research I've seen says that people aren't as trepidatious about genetic engineering and biotechnology when they benefit directly. So if you can cure someone's cancer or you can, you know, save their child's life, they're not as scared of it. Has that been your experience or have you seen anything like that at all?
Yeah, I actually very much agree with that perspective. It's an area where, you know, you can see these transformative gene therapies that are approved and really transforming the lives of kids who would otherwise, you know, have a pretty difficult a life ahead of them. You're seeing, you know, some of these novel cancer therapies, you know, curing patients with leukemia and lymphoma that would otherwise not have been cured in the past. And so I think when people see those direct results and see the benefits and the fruits of the genetic engineering, I think there's a, you know, tremendous pull from patients and clinicians to really test these and take these forward. So I haven't been particularly concerned about that in the areas that we're working on. Certainly when we design these therapies, we do our best to, you know, maximize the safety profile of these drugs and maximize the clinical benefit, potential clinical benefit for patients. And so that's, I think, a compelling case for why synthetic biology is a positive in the world and how we can hopefully improve people's human health with this sort of approach.
Well, let me ask you this as we wrap up the interview. Is this the future of medicine, the sort of personalized approach where we're engineering treatments that are not maybe designed for people individually in certain cases, but at least more specifically targeted to the disease that they're suffering from?
Yeah, I definitely think it is. I mean, this is going back to the beginning of the interview. I mean, why I got so excited in this space. You know, the two major trends that are happening right now is with all of the sequencing costs that are really taking a nosedive in terms of cost and a significant, you know, boost in productivity and throughput, we're actually starting to unravel a lot of the underlying bases of diseases, ones that we could never really understand in great detail before. So not just in cancer, but in, you know, neurological disease, autoimmune disease, et cetera, we're really understanding how defects or misfires in the natural human genetic code lead to disease. So that's really on the understanding side. Once you have that information, then you can actually build much more sophisticated drugs. You know, we know that human biology is complex. It's not just a single thing that goes wrong typically. It's a complex sort of Rube Goldberg type machine that's going on there. And so I think fundamentally, if we were going to try to enable, you know, transformational drugs for patients, we're not going to be only going after, you know, one small cog in the whole machine, but actually building a more complex program that goes in and fixes the problem. That's really where the synthetic biology comes in. It's really the engineering part of the solution problem here, where once you know the genetic program and how it's gone awry, you can actually build a new genetic program to try to solve it. So that's what I'm personally really excited about. And I think we're going to start seeing more and more sophisticated drugs moving forward, ones that can really be as dynamic, as programmable as the natural biology is already.
Exciting stuff. Tell people where they can find out more about you guys. Give us a plug for your website. Are you on Twitter? Where's the best place that people can reach out to you guys?
Yeah, so people can certainly find us on our website, centibio.com. And if there's any questions, there's a contact link on that page, or people want to reach out and ask any questions in private. We're also on Twitter, at centibio. And so we're happy to have a discussion there as well and talk about the opportunities in synthetic biology.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll hopefully get some people to go check out what you guys are doing.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. We will see you next time. As always, I want to remind you to check us out on iTunes and Spotify, and check out the podcast at geneticliteracyproject.org.